Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Renting is a familiar living accommodation for many in Southwest Florida, and whether you read your rental contract or not, there are laws on the books which govern how you should proceed in the event of damage to your home. Your landlord is most likely very familiar with these laws, but are you? We are talking about what renters should do if the home they live in is damaged. Are you renting, or do you have a question for our expert? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. I want to encourage everyone to give us a call because we have with us Naples attorney Patrick Neal. He can help us sort out the laws as they pertain to renters, particularly after a natural disaster like we just had with Irma. Patrick, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
So it's been a few weeks since the hurricane, and now that power's on and the water's flowing, what are you hearing from renters?
Well, we're hearing a lot of people who are dispossessed by the storm. You know, they've had damage to their units, whether it's roof damage or water intrusion or whatever, and they're trying to figure out what to do about their situation. Can they stop paying their rent? Can they just call the landlord up and say, "Well, I don't want to pay my rent anymore because my apartment's wet"? Well, you know, there are things that they need to do to be able to do those kinds of things.
Okay, so what is a checklist of the first, second, and third thing that a renter should do should they have damage to their home?
First thing they need to do is read their lease. That's always the most important thing. If they've got a lease, typically if you're renting from a big rental company or something like that, you have a pretty detailed lease. The lease itself may address those issues. It may say that if the property's damaged, we will forgive your rent. It may say that if the property's damaged and you let us know, we will allow you to get us to have it repaired, things like that. So first document to read is the lease. Second thing to do, if there is damage, then send a notice to your landlord in writing that the damage has occurred. So make sure that your landlord has a notice, and it has to prescribe, has to fit with the Florida statutes, because Florida statutes has a very specific rule on how you have to notify your landlord of damage.
Oh, so you can't just, you know, send him an email, or you just can't call him up on the phone.
Yeah, you can't say, "Hey, Charlie, my roof's leaking. Fix it."
No matter how well you like them and how good of friends you think you are, you have to, by law, write a letter.
Exactly. Remember, there are no friends in court. The judge is there as a arbiter who's going to look at the law. He's not going to look like at whether your landlord and you were friends before this all went to pot.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is put together a letter according to the statute that specifically sets out that here's what's damaged, here's how much of my place is damaged, and you have 7 days, because the law allows them 7 days to fix it. And if you don't fix it, you have to give the landlord the choice of either – you don't have to, but the landlord – you have the choice of either giving the landlord notice that you're going to start withholding rent, or in the alternative, you can terminate the lease and move and owe no further money, and they would have, in normal terms, have to refund your security deposit. But that notice has to be gotten to the landlord. Your best, in fact, the statute typically says you need to send that certified mail. So send it certified mail to the landlord. You can also hand deliver it to the landlord if you know where he lives. Just give it in his hand. But you need to get that notice to them, because without that, the law doesn't kick in.
Certified's a good idea, though, because you have an actual official record that they are in receipt of that.
Certified's the best way, and certainly in the statute, they state that certified is the way to go.
So you need to include in this letter, here's the damage, mm-hmm. here's the problem, the state law allows for 7 days for you to either get it fixed or make arrangements. And at that point, I'm either going to start withholding rent or I'm going to consider my lease
terminated.
Void.
Right.
All right. So what happens after 7 days then?
After 7 days, you can start withholding the rent. Now, the law is also very relatively tenant unfriendly in this, because you can only withhold rent for the amount of the unit that is uninhabitable. So let's say you've got a two-bedroom apartment and only one bedroom is uninhabitable. The rest of the place you can live in. It's not wet. It's dry. You can close the door on that bedroom. You're fine. You can only withhold rent for that part that's uninhabitable. You can't withhold rent for
the whole place. It's like percentage of square footage?
Right. So you know, you've got a 400-square-foot apartment. You've got a 100-square-foot bedroom. You can withhold one quarter of the rent.
Oh, so then you have to just live, what, on your living room couch or
– To some extent, yeah.
What if 90% is damaged and you're like having to live in your bathroom?
Would be considered effectively uninhabitable completely.
I mean, I'm just wondering. I don't want to imagine someone trying to sleep in their bathtub or something like that. So if a renter doesn't have renter's insurance and one of those policies, you know, the renter's insurance is like $100, $150. I don't know what the rate is these days, but it's really not that expensive. But that's per year, and that covers all the belongings of a renter. So if somebody doesn't have that renter's insurance policy, and because of the damage to the home, some of their stuff is damaged, their furniture, their clothes, computers, and things like that. Do they get to make a claim against the owner of the home because the home did not protect the contents like it should have because the roof flew off?
They may or may not be able to. The law is actually fairly split on that here in Florida. But in general, they are not able to make a claim. And in most cases, if you've got a pretty extensive lease, the lease specifically says, we're not liable for your stuff. You need to protect it. So I would strongly recommend for the cheap price, get yourself renter's insurance because at least then you have some place to make a claim. Because even if the law says, well, you can make a claim for damaged goods, you're probably not going to get new replacement value for them. You're probably going to get replacement value for that 15-year-old couch that your dog's been sleeping on for 6 months.
Yeah, that you probably would have to pay someone to haul away.
Yeah.
If you really want to get down to what the cost is of it. We are talking with Patrick Neal about renter's recourse after the storm. You can become part of the conversation too by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So you say that a renter has to write a letter to the owner of a property and state that they will be withholding rent if the damage isn't fixed. Is that only if the home is unlivable, or can you withhold rent if it's just got a little leak or if it's kind of what level of damage is required for you to be able to withhold is what I'm saying.
The law specifically says that there is essentially a warranty of habitability in your house. And that typically goes to code enforcement issues. It can't leak. The screens have to be repaired. You have to have running water. You have to have working plumbing. Those kinds of things are what's required by the statute. So if at any time, I mean not just after a hurricane, but at any time, if you've got a problem like that where your landlord is not maintaining the property in accordance with the local code, send them a letter. And then you can start withholding after 7 days. But the biggest problem I've seen with renters, and this goes back, you know, the 30 years that I've been down here practicing, is that they don't do what they need to do. And then they wonder why the court says, sorry, I can't do anything for you. They need to take the proactive effort of sending the letter to the landlord. I know sometimes, you know, particularly if you're in a situation where you're renting from an individual, it's harder to do that. But you need to follow the law because the judge is going to, and 90% of the time, the landlord's going to have a lawyer, and they're going to pick it to death.
Well, there are people also that rent from relatives or something like that, or you know, a friend or family. So now we're like about 4 weeks out. Is it too late to send that letter if you've got a problem?
You can still send it. I mean, it still is very valid to send that letter. You still need to give them 7 days to fix it. But you can at least try to get, you know, they may not necessarily have to, but you can certainly say in the letter that this has been uninhabitable for this time. You've had a reasonable time to fix it. You need to fix it, or I'm going to withhold rent, or count it as terminated and I'm walking away.
Yeah. Either way, though, the landlord, upon receipt of that letter, has 7 days to make the amends.
Right.
Correct. So what if a person's home is completely destroyed? And can they still be held to their lease if they've got a year-long lease and their home was just completely washed away, for example, like down in Everglades City with the storm surge, or in Immokalee where they got blown away?
Typically not. But in that case, you're still good to put the letter out that says it's uninhabitable and I'm terminating the lease because it's still – that way you've got formal notice that it's been done. And so you're not – the landlord doesn't even have an alternative then to come back after you.
In some of those situations, you may have like an absentee landlord who lives far away and may not even really know the extent of the damage. And you got to let
him
know anyway.
You've got to let him know because, you know, the way – the quirky nature of hurricanes is sometimes one house – one unit even in a building is completely devastated and another unit in the building is pristine. So,
yeah.
You know, how do you tell?
So if someone's already paid September rent but the home was completely destroyed on September 11th, can they get the rest of that September rent back?
They can't get the rest of that rent back except that they may be able to get a rent credit when they make the demand. So they withhold rent starting today and they paid the rent up through the end of September, they should be able to get that rent credited to them for the balance of September.
And then what about that all-important security deposit, that thing that we all had to save up for so much and it was just so painful to write that check when you first got into the apartment or the home? Does that come back?
It should come back. If you know, particularly in most of the cases where you've had hurricane damage, it's effectively impossible for the landlord to prove that you did any damage to the unit. And so then the landlord has to – once you terminate the lease, then the landlord has to notify you of whether they're going to going to retain the security deposit. If they notify that you're going to, then you have the right to a hearing on that as to whether they are justified in retaining that. And the notice that they give you has to say that.
Have you had a situation in which somebody's home was completely blown away? I mean, it's just gone and the lease was – the landlord tried to hold them to their lease?
Occasionally, yeah, but it's rare. They understand that and most leases address it too.
Really?
As they say, you know, in the case of a casualty, if we can repair it within 90 days, then you know the lease is still valid. If it takes us more than that, or if we declare it it's uninhabitable and non-repairable. So that's
exactly.
That's again where you got to look at the lease first before you even look at the statute. Is always look at the lease.
What if your lease is gone? What if your lease got blown away with your house, or it got flooded and it's illegible, and then the only copy of the lease that's around is the one that your landlord has? Is there any other repository that has like a neutral?
No, unfortunately not. And every lease is different. So you really would have to go to your landlord and say, I need another copy of my lease. Mine got destroyed, and get it back.
And then he gives you one that looks a little different?
If he gives you one that looks a little different, then you may have an issue in court with him. Is this isn't what I signed.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't really prove that. That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. That's why they make lawyers.
Yeah, that's what keeps you in business. Well, and also the safe deposit box. You know, that's definitely a good
idea. I mean, a lease is the kind of thing, and a lot of people tend to treat them like, yeah, just throw it in the corner. A lease is a very important document if you're a renter, whether you're a renter of a house or a mobile home or a commercial building. Keeping a copy of that original lease is very important. I've had leases where the lease has been able to have been declared void because it wasn't properly signed. Because a lease of a term of over 1 year has to have two witnesses. It doesn't have two witnesses. It may be challenged on the basis of not meeting the what's called the statute of frauds.
Renters generally aren't the people that have all the money in the world for an attorney though. I don't want to lump everybody together, but a lot of people that are in a rental situation may not have the funding to have a lawyer help them out when they have a dispute such as this. What kind of options do they have?
Well, there's several options actually, which is the good news, and we've got some good news on that coming up. But the first option is called the Legal Aid Society in your area. Legal Aid is an organization funded partially by the interest on attorneys' trust accounts, and partially by government grants, and partially by private funding that helps people who are making below a certain amount of money, helps them with civil disputes. And one of the things they help people with are landlord-tenant issues. There's one in Lee County. There's one in Collier County. Lee County also has rural legal services for more of the people that live out in the eastern part of the county. But all of those organizations are working hard on landlord-tenant issues here in town. And just as an aside, Legal Aid of Collier County is having a free pro bono clinic coming up this Saturday at the Legal Aid office from 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. And that's open to anybody. You don't have to financially qualify for Legal Aid to come to that clinic and meet with an attorney who will give you advice on your situation. And it'll be an attorney who practices in that area of law.
Yeah, well, and it's a good idea, but not having a divorce attorney or somebody trying to
– Exactly. <yeah.
laughs> It is kind of like a divorce, I guess, sometimes. But so that's from 10 to 2, 10 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, and that's down at 4436 East Tamiami Trail. That's
Correct.
The Legal Aid Clinic?
Correct. Correct.
All right. Yep. And is that specifically because of Hurricane Irma that they're putting that on?
This clinic is specifically being put on because of Hurricane Irma. Now, Legal Aid does put on other clinics throughout the course of the year, but typically the people for those have to qualify for Legal Aid. They have to income qualify for Legal Aid. This one's different. Because of Irma, it's open to all comers. So we're expecting a large crowd probably. So
yeah, I would imagine. How many attorneys do you know? Do you know how many attorneys are signed up to be there?
I don't know how many, but we typically get between 20 and 30 attorneys signing up.
Yeah. So bring your questions if you haven't called in to us today. And then there's also a legal referral service that you mentioned to me on the phone, and that's for people that don't qualify necessarily for the legal aid. This is for people who can't afford an attorney, but this would help people get to the right one?
Correct. Collier County Lawyer Bar Association and I believe Lee County Bar Association also have what are called lawyer referral services. And they have a – and I don't remember the phone number for the guy you're getting one. I apologize for that. But you can call them and what they will do is they'll set you with an appointment with an attorney who practices in the area of your need, and that appointment is a half an hour. You get a half an hour appointment for $50.
No, that's not bad.
And the $50 doesn't even go to the lawyer. The $50 goes to the lawyer referral service so that they can continue to fund their operations.
And we have a link to that on our website at wgcunews.org. We have a link to that, also link to details of the legal aid clinic that's in Collier County, and a link to the Collier County Legal Aid the overall legal aid in the state of Florida. We have a link to all those different websites. So if you didn't have a pen out to get all those details, you can always check wgcunews.org and click on the Gulf Coast Live tab, and then you'll see the story that we're doing right now with the audio from today's show. And within the script there – or not the script, within the text there, you can find hyperlinks to all of the things that we were just talking about. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, say somebody is now getting ready to go into a new rental situation. Maybe they've gotten out of their destroyed whatever that they were in, right? And they're getting ready to sign a new lease. What kind of things would you advise to someone to be aware of as they're about to sign a lease with a new apartment or home in light of what you've seen since this storm?
Well, I think you want to make sure that the lease has a clause in it that addresses what happens if there is damage. Whose responsibility is it? Like a hurricane clause. But even just you look at the rainstorms we had before the hurricane. They did a lot of damage to a lot of places. So make sure that you have a clause. There's the one trailer park in Bonita that was completely flooded after the rainstorms. Mm-hmm. If somebody was renting in there, hopefully their lease addressed that. But make sure your lease addresses that. Make sure your lease clearly addresses all the rights and responsibilities of both parties, what you need to do, what they need to do, what kind of maintenance they need to do, what kind of access they have, how you can terminate, when you can terminate, what reasons they have for being able to hold on to your security deposit. All of those kinds of things are very important pieces to have on the lease, because the lease is the first document that the judge is going to look at if you end up in court, or that you're going to fight over as the terms in the lease.
And also keep that lease in a safe deposit box in case
keep
your house blows away.
Keep the lease in a safe place.
That's definitely a good idea. And you mentioned a little bit about who has access to what. And I remember that landlords don't have a lot of access to a property when there's a renter there. But if a renter evacuates in some situations, but the homeowner or the owner of the condo or whatever wants to get in there and take a look at it, what kind of rights do they end up having?
They typically have rights to be able to enter the unit to inspect for damage. And they also have rights typically with a certain amount of notice to come in and inspect the unit at any time. But they certainly have to have notice and make sure that that issue is addressed in your lease as well, because some of them just sort of say, the landlord can call up and give reasonable notice. Well, reasonable notice to a landlord may not be reasonable notice to you, and having him bang on your door at 10 o'clock at night when you're watching Madam Secretary may not be exactly what you want the landlord to do.
Yeah, that would be not the adequate notice. Right. And then conversely, we're talking a lot about what the landlord's responsibility is and the rights of the renter, but there are also responsibilities that a renter has. What kind of rights does a landlord have? For example, if a renter may see that there's some water damage but doesn't say anything about it because they can live with it and it's fine, and mold starts to take hold.
Well, I think in that case, it's a failure of habitability on the landlord's part. But if the landlord doesn't know about it, then the tenant has to take some responsibility. And in all probability, the landlord may attempt to make a claim against the security deposit for something like that. But the tenant has the right of what's called in the law quiet enjoyment. You get to live there and not be bothered by the landlord as long as you maintain the property in a reasonable fashion. I mean, you don't necessarily have to fix anything that goes wrong unless the lease says so. But you can't kick holes in the wall. You can't put aluminum pans in the microwave and blow the thing up.
You can't let your kid chip away the drywall.
You can't let your kid chip away the drywall. You can't let your dog use the carpet as
the backyard.
As the backyard. those kind of things. You know. So you really need to best thing is treat your apartment as if it was your own home. Mm-hmm. That's really the best advice, and you're usually not going to get in trouble with a landlord.
Exactly. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank you so much, Patrick Neal, for talking about renters' rights with us here on Gulf Coast Live. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Julie.
And as always, we do have links to all of the programs that we talked about earlier in the show on WGCUnews.org. Just click on the Gulf Coast Live tab. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.